Testing in the House chamber, Legislative Day 133.
House will come to order. Any notices or announcements from members? Seeing and hearing no requests to be recognized, and subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 and modifications set to the calendar, the House stands in recess until 1:30 p.m. At that time, there will be votes pursuant to Speaker Moore's announcement yesterday, unless there are any changes. Temporarily in recess.
Simple enough. Representative Potts is recognized to send forth a conference report. The clerk will read.
Conference report, Senate Bill 274, to the President of the Senate, Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conference is appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 274, a bill to be entitled an act directing the Department of Health and Human Services to study the array of services available to support older adults in North Carolina who live independently and to report findings and recommendations to the General Assembly. The House Committee substitute favorable September 5th, 2023. 23, submit the following report. The conferees recommended for the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved, October 25, 2023. Conferees for the Senate, Senator Jim Perry, Chair, Senators Brad Overcash. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Larry Potts, Chair, Representatives Paré, Sasser, Kristen Baker, M.D.
Calendar pursuant to Rule 36B. Special message from the Senate. The following special message is received from the Senate. Senate Bill 758, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, to bill to be entitled an act to realign the North Carolina Senate districts. Senate Bill 758, having been read a first time, is referred to the Committee on Redistricting. If favorable, committee rules, counter, and operations of the House. Special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, October 25th, 2023. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 68, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize the City of Hendersonville to use proceeds from on-street parking meters and fund capital projects and provide that revenues realized from off-street parking meter facilities must be used to pay bonds issued to finance such facilities or other capital projects at all. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That Senate message is noted. Further special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, October 25th, 2023. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 154, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to make various occupancy tax changes. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That special message is noted. Special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, October 25th, 2023. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 274, Conference Committee substitute, a bill to be entitled an act directing the Department of Health and Human Services to exempt certain home assistance services from care licensure requirements when the appropriate actions taken by both chambers of the bill be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That Senate message is noted. Special message from the Senate. The following special message is received from the Senate. Senate Bill 761, a bill to be entitled an act to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives and to make corrections to previous appointments. Senate Bill 761 being read a first time is referred to the Committee on Rules. Representative Destin Hall is recognized to send forth redistricting committee report. Senate Bill 758, realign NC Senate districts, 2023. Senate Bill 758, second edition, favorable and re-referred. Senate Bill 758 is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Counted Operations of the House.
The House will come back to order. Members, the chair was just informed a few minutes ago by the Rules Chair that the Rules Committee needs a little more time to finish the committee reports, to get those out and to get those reported out. So we're going to, I'm about to put the body into recess until 2:30. During that time, however, Mr. Clerk will be making additions to the calendar. So as the reports come in from the Rules Committee, go ahead and automatically add those bills to today's calendar. That way members will know what all is coming before the body. So apologies that we have to wait an hour, but that's what the Rules Committee has indicated, that they will need to finish deliberation. But then there's the sort of administrative process of when they take the action, what the central staff has to do to report that out, get it in here, put it into the system, load it on the dashboard and all that. Any notices or announcements at this time before put the House in recess? Seeing nothing further to come before the body, Chair is going to declare the House stands in recess subject to the standard stipulations, Rule 15.1, modifications of the calendar, till 2:30 this afternoon.
On motion of the Chair, Senate Bill 274 conference report is withdrawn from the calendar 36B and placed on today's calendar. Short title, Senior Care Options. Recognized to send forth the Rules Calendar and Operations of the House Committee Report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules Calendar Operations of the House Committee Report. Senate Bill 757, Committee Substitute Number 1, Realign Congressional Districts, 2023, CST-4, favorable.
Senate Bill 757 is placed on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 758, Committee Substitute Number 1, Realign NC Senate Districts, 2023, SB 758, second edition, favorable.
Senate Bill 758 placed on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 759, Watauga County Board of Commissioners, LST-2, favorable.
Senate Bill 759 placed on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 761, additional General Assembly appointments, favorable.
Senate Bill 761 placed on today's calendar.
Pursuant to the rule, we were going to wait till we came back here in the session to for our prayer and for our and for the Pledge of Allegiance. And of course, we'd ask our members and our guests once again to please silence any electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer is going to be offered by Representative Rudow of Buncombe County. We'd ask everyone on the floor and all of our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Rudow.
Thank you. God of the spirit of all flesh, here we are before you, broken spirits torn by grief. Have mercy on us, mortals created in your image. Watch over us in a time of destruction and tragedy, terror, death, and panic. Please, please, may our compassion be revealed. May the love within us overwhelm the harsh judgment, vengeance, and evil within us. Behold, fierce burning pain cries out, seeking revenge, not comfort. May the divine image rise, shining like the dawn from our crushed hearts. May we have faith that we will merit to witness the goodness of the Holy One, the goodness of humankind in the land of the living. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Eiler, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the journal for October 24th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Eiler moves the journal for October 24th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written.
Have you already received committee reports?
We've got committee reports and messages. We're done.
Got it. Okay, good. Okay. Members, on motion of the gentleman from Randolph, Representative Biggs, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Cam Mills, who is with the Randolph County Young Republicans as the chairman, and also the field director for Congressman Richard Hudson. And then also with him, Gavin Stevenson, who is the vice chair of the Randolph County Young Republicans. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you up here on the left. Good to have you today. Lady from Wake, Representative Servain, has recognized sent forth a representative statement that will be read in its entirety upon the adjournment today and is recognized to briefly speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you very much, Speaker Moore. It is my honor to state this representative statement today. On October 18th, 1587, it was in Morro Bay, California, that the first Filipinos arrived in America on a Spanish ship many more Filipinos arrived in the United States when they were annexed from the Philippines. I don't know if many of you know that the Philippines was actually America at one time for many, many years. And in the first Filipinos that were documented Asian American groups settled in our American soil. We now in North Carolina have 44,488 Filipinos calling North Carolina home. This month recognizes the Filipino Americans who have positively influenced and enriched our state and our country with art, culture, science, history, and stories. I'm not sure if you know this, but we probably often talk about it. As your first Filipino elected official in all of North Carolina history. Thank you. Thank you so much. This moment is pivotal for me. I bring to the floor today not only to recognize the rich and multifaceted history of the Filipino community, but also to emphasize that representation matters. Because knowing our past gives us an even more confidence for our future. It reminds new generations of Filipinos that they are seen, heard, and capable of so much more. And it reminds us that there is room, that we interact with Filipino Americans in history and actually in your everyday. I mentioned it yesterday, but I want to also reinforce. When we honor veterans for World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, we honor Filipino Americans. When we celebrate the triumphs of the labor movement, we celebrate Filipino Americans. And when we thank doctors and nurses that have tirelessly worked for our health, for your health, for our family's health, who've given birth to some of your children or your grandchildren, these are Filipino Americans. And the Filipino story is integral to our American story. So please help me in celebrating Filipino American Heritage Month and recognize the advocacy groups who came here today. Thank you so much.
Members would ask you, we have a group of Filipino Americans, I think, with us in the gallery. Would y'all please stand so we can officially welcome you? Please join me in welcoming our guests with us today. Thanks for being here, sir. Calendar, Senate Bill 68, Corporal Reed.
Conference report, Senate Bill 68, a bill to be entitled Various Local Changes, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 68, on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed to vote no. Corporal, open the vote. Hurdle, aye. Crutchfield, aye. Charlie Miller, aye. Setzer, aye. Sane, aye. Yes, sir. Cotham, excused. Chair's going to hold it open for just a moment. Brockman, aye. Please unexcuse Representative Brockman. He's right here. The votes I don't have recorded as yet are Willingham, Reeves, Jones of Columbus, Dixon, Fontenot, Hall, and Bell. Clerk Light Machine, record the vote. 94, having voted in the affirmative, 4 in the negative. Senate Bill 68, the conference report is adopted. On its third reading, the Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 154, Corker Reed.
Conference report, Senate Bill 154, bill to be entitled Omnibus Occupancy Tax Changes, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question before the House is the adoption of the conference report on third reading for Senate Bill 154. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Warren, aye. Representative Reeves, how'd the gentleman like to record? Aye. See, you didn't have to sit down after all. Still on a recording for, it looks like, Willingham, Jones, Fontenot, Dixon, Hall, and Bell. All of the four. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 93 having voted in the affirmative and 6 in the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 154 is adopted on third reading and the Senate will be so notified. Members, the redistricting chair is not on the floor, so we're going to move ahead to Senate Bill 274. The clerk will read.
Comps report, Senate Bill 274, bill to be entitled Senior Care Options, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, is recognized for a motion.
I move that we adopt the Senate Conference Report 274.
Gentleman has moved the House adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 274 and has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is bill provides a service that many of us have provided for our grandparents or other relatives who hire people to sit with them and do dishes, provide meals, non-medical tasks. It provides a home services provider. It also differentiates between them and a home health agency, as a home service provider cannot bill private insurance, state insurance, Medicaid, or Medicare. It simply provides a different way of service for those members of our family who need it, and I ask for your support.
For a discussion, debate, not the question before the House, adopts the conference report. Senate Bill 274. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Saying aye. Representative Brody wish to record. Representative Pickett. Pickett, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 94, having voted in the affirmative, 7 in the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 274 is adopted, and the Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 508, the clerk will read.
Senator Hyde, Senate Bill 508, a bill to be entitled 2023 Budget Tech Other Corrections, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Sain is first recognized to send forth Amendment AMQ 13. The clerk will read.
Representative Sain moves to amend the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These are just more clarifying amendments. Once we got this printed and in committee, the couple of issues that it sought to resolve themselves. So just ask that you support the amendment. We're just deleting the lines. Thank you.
Question before the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. Representative Sains recognized to further debate the bill if the gentleman would so desire.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, this is just a technical corrections for the budget. As we ran it through rules last night, we chose to do it through rules not to take up a lot of your time. It's mainly things that are time sensitive that were passed in the budget to make those corrections, some wording changes and so forth. Some had to do with local projects. The example we used was if you had a city of Duplin and a county of Duplin. We know there's no city of Duplin, but things might have been misnamed in the budget. So this sought to make some of those type of changes. Again, very highly technical in nature, intentionally, so that the Senate may take it up. And that's the purpose of the bill before you. Just ask that you support it. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To briefly debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'm looking for the section. I can't remember the number, but I did want to express my appreciation for you fixing the ban on the plastic bag ban, because the way the bill, the provision was drafted in the budget really got in the way of local government's ability to manage their litter ordinances, and it conflicted with the solid waste statute. So I very much appreciate that change that was made, and I still don't like the fact that you're banning the ability to ban plastic bags at the local level, but this is a much improvement, and I encourage your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 508 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk of Lot Machine record the vote. 86 having voted in the affirmative, 15 the negative. Senate Bill 508 passed the second reading without objection. You read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 508 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 508, having passed its third reading, be returned to the Senate. Yes, sir, Mr. Clerk, please engross that. Senate Bill 671, the clerk will read. Yes, sir. Your point, Ms. Bill.
Senator Raven, Senate Bill 761, a bill to be entitled Additional General Assembly Appointments. The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 761 is the additional appointments bill to fill the positions created by this summer's budget and recent legislation, which involves Senate Bill 515 and Senate Bill 749. Each individual has been vetted by the appointing authority and deemed qualified to serve. This bill includes the recently created Superior Court judge positions, recently created NC Innovation Board, UNC Healthcare Board of Directors, Department of Transportation Board, Utilities Commission, appointments, State Board of Elections, and various openings due to recent resignations and simple corrections from the last appointment bill. I ask for your support. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Longest Rice?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be voting against this bill and urging you to do the same. I vote against not because of any individual on this list. There are many qualified North Carolinians who seek to give their time and talents to our state who are to be appointed, and I commend each of them for that service. I urge you to vote against this bill solely because it is the fulfillment of the consolidation of powers in this body, of powers that belong to other branches of government. First, in enacting this bill, we exercise powers that constitutionally belong to the governor in our state constitution, the power to control the majority and therefore the direction of key executive branch agencies. It includes appointments to the Board of Transportation, the Public Health Commission, the Coastal Resources and Wildlife Resources Commissions, the Utilities Commission, and the State Board of Elections. Appointments that touch every area of our lives and involve core executive power. This bill also incurs on separation of powers with respect to the judiciary. It includes appointments by this body of special Superior Court judges who will be among those selected to review acts of this body for constitutionality. It includes appointments to the Judicial Standards Commission that hears complaints against judges, including those called upon to review our legislation. Such a system incurs on an independent judiciary. At this late hour in the session, I urge you to reverse course on the session's consolidation of power and adhere to separations of powers principles as articulated by our state Supreme Court by voting against this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 761 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Shepherd wish to record. Representative Tyson. Clerk of Lot Machine record the vote. 60 having voted in the affirmative and 40 in the negative. Senate Bill 761 passed a second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 761 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 761, having passed third reading, is ordered and rolled. Senate Bill 759, the clerk will read.
Senators Hayes, Senate Bill 759, a bill to be entitled, Watauga County Board of Commissioners, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Watauga, Representative Pickett, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is a local bill, three parts. First part, we got Watauga County. We are simply changing the way we elect county commissioners in that county, switching it from a residential district to electoral district. And in doing so, no current sitting commissioner will be ousted out of their seat. They will all be allowed to remain in their seat to end up their term as elected, and then they will change. Second part is Anson County Board of Commissioners. They are actually changing theirs from electoral districts to a residential district, and that was asked for by the county commissioners. The third part is from Johnson County Board of Education. They are asking to change the way they have primaries. Currently, if it's six or less, they have a primary. Now they're changing that to, if it's three or more candidates, then they'll have a primary, and the top two vote getters will run for the general election. I stand for any questions.
What about the amendment? Representative Prather is recognized to set forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Prather moves to amend the bill.
Lady has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the amendment is extremely simple. For those of you who are not aware, Buncombe County is the only county in North Carolina whose county commission district lines are tied to the state House of Representative lines. So every time we redraw state house districts here in North Carolina, we are redrawing the county commission districts in Buncombe. That's not right. It is incredibly confusing. It causes people to disengage from the election process. And all this amendment would do would revert Buncombe County back to being treated the same as every other county in North Carolina. And I'd like to request a recorded vote on this. Thank you.
Gentleman from Watauga, Representative Pickett, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With all due respect to my colleague from Buncombe County, at this time I think this is dealing with Watauga County mainly, and I don't think we have time to add anything to it and run it through the Senate, so I'd ask you to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? For what purpose, gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise.
Actually, to debate the bill itself, not the amendment, so I apologize.
I'm sorry?
To debate the bill itself, not the amendment. Okay. Right, we haven't moved yet.
I'll come back to the gentleman on that. Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1, sent forward by Representative Prather. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 39 having voted in the affirmative and 64 in the negative. The amendment is not adopted. We're now back on the bill. The gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to make the joke I was thinking about making about the new Watauga, Anson, Johnston district, not including Buncombe. So I'm not going to do that. But what I would say is this, and this is not it telling folks to vote one way or another, but the Watauga portion bothers me for the same reason yesterday's maps bother. And it does not displace anybody, and I actually appreciate that and really respect that we're doing that, and I really do think that's a good thing. But if you look at the numbers, it does look problematic in this sense. You're now going from a board that was elected at large 3-2 and is a Democratic majority to now moving it to a board where just about every Democrat you've got gets moved into two different districts. So That makes one of the districts 4.96% over the ideal population size, the other 4.85% over the ideal population size. And so you've literally packed as many Democrats as you can into those two districts, and now the other three districts clearly are leaning Republican. And I just still wish we wouldn't do that, but it is what it is. And with that, I would, again, I don't like messing with anybody's local bills, and I appreciate that it's a local bill. I'm just pointing that fact out, and I just think that is something we could get out of the habit of. And I do have a second matter at the speaker's pleasure that I'd like to ask about.
Yes, sir.
Well, because of the fact that I got to talking to Representative Lofton, I got distracted on my last vote, and so if that could be changed to an aye, I'd appreciate it.
And he's on the amendment. Jumbie, of course, having voted aye on the Prather amendment. For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Lofton, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also would like to be an aye on the Prather amendment as well.
Jumbie, of course, having voted aye on the Prather amendment. For what purpose, the lady from Buncombe, Representative Prather, rise.
I think I was correctly recorded on that amendment. Just to speak to the bill, briefly.
He has forwarded to debate the bill.
Thank you. As a freshman member, I continue to be surprised by many of the bills that come before our consideration. This bill is one of those. I do stand in opposition to it, particularly, as my leader said, the Watauga provision, which is really an App State provision, if we're being honest. The provision was not requested by the full Watauga County Board of Commissioners. Many of you on both sides of this aisle served in local government prior to the House. You served as city councilmen and county commissioners. Your role was to stand for your local community and those that you served. I'm pretty sure you did not support the interference of your state representatives for their political gain. And you were correct to do that because it's not right. What I see in this legislation is fear. Fear of counties that are trending Democratic. Fear of engaged college students and young people. My fear is that this legislation is a prime example of a continued slipping of power to the legislature from every corner of this state. Please vote no.
For what purpose, General Swain, Representative Clampett, rise.
Request a change on vote on the amendment.
How would Jim might be recorded?
Let's change the aye to a no. Something about Mr. Reeves over here and there, they just had us all bumfuzzles.
Got it. Well, Jim, of course, having voted no on the amendment. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. Seeing none, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 759 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative and 40 in the negative. Senate Bill 759 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 759 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 759 having passed its third reading is ordered and rolled. Senate Bill 757, the clerk will read.
Senators Hayes, Daniel P. Newton. Senate Bill 757, a bill to be entitled, An Act to Realign the North Carolina Congressional Districts, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is the proposed congressional map, the map that was worked on between the House leadership, the House chairs of the redistricting committee, along with Senate leadership, and the chairs of the Senate Redistricting Committee. In a literal sense, it was drawn in the Senate room, but myself, along with other members from this body, went back and forth with senators on various changes that we wanted to make. And just like any other bill, we unfortunately at times have to deal with the Senate. Same thing with this one. We have to have agreement generally in both chambers. As most of you know, for the state House map and the state Senate map, there's generally a deference to the chamber that is drawing their own map, so they will defer to us in state House, and typically we'll defer to them on the state Senate. On the congressional map, though, that's something that we generally have to come together on. So we've done that process over the last several weeks. with the Senate and the map that ultimately came together in terms of our agreement with the Senate is the one that you see before you today. I won't spend a whole lot of time talking about the map. If I've learned anything in my, I don't know, however many years now, I've been chairing redistricting, I've learned that ultimately we can talk about the compactness, and we can talk about VTD splits, and we can talk about trying to keep counties whole, but it seems that what most folks are interested in, and not so wrongly, what most folks are interested in is what they perceive the partisan lean of the map to be. And there's no doubt that the congressional map that's before you today has a lean towards Republicans in running in these congressional districts. However, just as I said on the House map, it doesn't foreordain any sort of outcome that we've heard in the media that, you know, this may lock in certain numbers across the course of the decade. And, you know, one of the things I heard on this particular map from another member of this body who was from the Senate, and that gentleman said that there's basically no point in having elections when it comes to the maps being passed. And I understand the frustration from my friends on the other side of the aisle. I do mean friends. Many of you I talk to quite frequently, some not as much as I may like, but that's the way it goes in anybody of this side. But the fact is the state constitution says this body is to draw these maps. And we know the North Carolina Supreme Court has recently affirmed that and made it clear that the law is, as we thought, as we have thought for about 200 years, it to be, and that is, it's the duty of this body to draw the map, and without constraints, except for those that are listed in our state constitution. And on the state house and state senate maps, I told you yesterday that we have it, what in my opinion, and I think it's hard to disagree with this, that we have probably the one most effective anti-gerrymandering provision in the country in the whole county provision. Now you say, well, you know, didn't stop you from, you know, still drawing a district that may favor Republicans, and that's true, but it did stop some of the worst abuses that we see elsewhere and maybe in other parts of the country, and even in this state. I showed you the map that was drawn back in 2000, and you saw that just visually it looked ridiculous. The map just went all over the place, didn't seem to honor county lines at all, didn't seem to honor municipalities. And, you know, I didn't say yesterday, well, Democrats did it forever, so now we get to do it. I think that that's, you know, an argument that's often put forth by some, and often some who are opponents of what my party has done in drawing maps. But I think the truth is, and the more salient argument, is that the state constitution says that, again, it is this body who gets to draw these particular districts. And so this body gets elected under a whole county provision that makes it difficult. The reality is it makes it difficult to draw one party into a majority or supermajority for any length of time. Over the decade, politics change. The way voting trends happen, they change. And so with that whole county provision and not being able to go all across the state and drawing these maps, it makes this body necessarily more responsive typically to the electorate. And it's this body that ultimately subsequently draws the congressional district, and that's what you see before you now. And the state constitution doesn't limit the congressional district to being drawn once per decade. And I don't know, maybe if somebody could go back and look to see when the framers of the current constitution in North Carolina, when they were debating that provision, I wonder if one idea they have was, well, the congressional map would have less constraints because the whole county provision in our constitution may make things a bit more responsive to the electorate, and so we ought to let the General Assembly be able to draw the congressional map more than once every decade. I don't know. Just something to keep in mind. I'm glad to answer whatever questions may be posed as to this particular map. But I will say that, again, what's so important in redistricting is context. And you think about the history of the way some maps looked. And I'm sure many, again, my friends on the other side, they'll say that this map may not look good. But again, in the context of history and and prior maps that we've seen in this state and other states, it looks relatively compact. It looks like it tries to adhere to some general regions of the state, tries to keep some of those regions together. And I know there's been a lot of criticism about splitting certain counties, splitting counties like Wake or Mecklenburg three times or Guilford. And I understand those arguments. If I represented one of those counties, I might be less inclined. I certainly wanted Caldwell County to be whole in this map. And as you see, one of the good things about chairing redistricting is you get to have a little bit more say in what it ends up looking like. So Caldwell County ended up being whole, and it wasn't made whole in the special master's map that we're running under right now in 2022. But the fact is, based upon the law, you have to have these districts be exactly right in population. So there's no way that anyone can draw a congressional map that doesn't split counties. You have to split it somewhere. And so then the debate becomes, well, should we split up a bunch of small counties, counties that might have fewer than 100,000 people in them? And folks will say, well, you know, that means they get two folks from Congress. Well, that may be, but in a smaller county, if you're split up and you've already got a small population and now you're split between two folks from Congress, I would argue to you that that representative from Congress may have less of a reason to focus on whatever portion of that county they have because the lower amount of people there. So in my opinion, it's much better to split the larger counties in our state, again, understanding that you've got to split somewhere. And so if you look at Wake and Mecklenburg, counties that have somewhere, I guess, a million or so people or more, those counties can be split in a way where there's still significant population in each of those congressional districts within those counties. And those folks who represent them from Congress still are going to feel the need to be very responsive to those particular counties. So that's what you see in the map before you today. Most of the county splits and certainly the three-way splits are all from large counties across our state. I hope you will support this map. I expect to field some questions and hear from some debate. But I also want to say this sort of in closing. You know, I've tried, as I've chaired redistricting, to work with my friends on the other side, especially on our state house map. And a number of you came to me and told me things you'd like to see in your district. And I won't say any names today because I don't want to get you in trouble in caucus later on. But those of you who came to me, you know that in most of those cases, I was either able to accommodate you completely or at least do something to get closer to what it is that you want. And I think that that's the way that this ought to be done. The truth is the majority in this body is always going to be what ends up winning out, whether that's a split between Republicans and Democrats or whether that's a party line vote. But with that in mind, you know, we can still try to work together on these maps. And I know that, again, most of my friends on the other side of the aisle are going to feel like they're being steamrolled. But, again, I would just ask you to remember how the committees were conducted. We didn't limit debate. We've not limited any amendments at all. In fact, I think there's another amendment coming today from my friend Representative Quick. So I hope you'll support the bill. And, Mr. Speaker, with that said, glad to stand for any questions.
The gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, is recognized. Send forth amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Quick moves to amend the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Mr. Rules Chair. The amendment that I have sent forth and proposed is one that will keep the congressional map the same as was used in 2022. And let me also point out that there's nothing that stops this body from using that same map until we have to redistrict the congressional districts after the next census. Reasons for keeping the map that was used in 2022 are many, and I'll just point out a few. First, in Congressional District 1, the map that is proposed that we're about to vote on would reduce the number of African-American voters in that district. And I don't think that we need to be reducing the number of African-American voters, particularly after the history of this country and recent court arguments and victories in court have said that African-Americans should be allowed to make choices that support their politics. And that doesn't necessarily mean, as our chair, our leader on yesterday said, it doesn't necessarily mean a black person. It just means that the black vote does matter. Secondly, the map that was used in 2022 does not split any county more than once. The rules chair, my friend the rules chair, brought up Guilford County, and I want to mention that in the map that we are about to vote on, the length of Guilford County's district goes from central Greensboro to the Tennessee state line. That's about 250 miles. It would take us 3.5 hours to drive the length of the one of the districts that would split Guilford County. Guilford County does not have enough people to make up its own congressional district, but it certainly has enough that it doesn't need to be split three ways. And I would ask that we support the 2022 map that does not split the third largest county in North Carolina three different ways. Next, the districts are more compact in the 2022 map. Again, to my point that I just made, 250 miles for one district, 3.5 hours to drive that district, is by no means compact. The map that was used in 2022 also, not only is it compact, but it has natural boundaries to it. And therefore, I ask that we would vote this map down and continue to use the 2022 map. Next, and my next to last point is, the map that was used in 2022 more accurately reflects state politics in North Carolina. I know when you have the advantage and you can do what you want to do because of the numbers that you have, as Leader Reeves said on yesterday, just because you can doesn't mean that you should. State politics is very important to North Carolinians, and they want to have their voices heard. And when you get maps that can put the thumb of the state on the scales, 11 to 3 rather, or 10-3-1, that's not reflective of North Carolina politics. My final point is this. The Princeton gerrymandering project gave the 2022 map an A. That same project gives the map that we're about to vote on an F. And if any of our schools in this state were graded an F, we would be doing something about it. Now, we may disagree on what we would do about it, but we definitely would be doing something about it. This map gets an F. This map gets an F. There are many things that happened after the 2020 election. Some of the things that we did here were in response to some things that were said about the 2020 election. But as all of us read the news and hear people pleading guilty and admitting that they were less than truthful about the 2020 election, when we look at what we've done in this body to voting and to elections in North Carolina, I would ask that we not cast this map on the heap of unnecessary things that we've done to voting and elections in North Carolina. Please vote no on this map. Let's continue to use a map that was drawn in 2022 and that more accurately reflects North Carolina's politics. Thank you.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'll say first, my recollection of at least some of the court decisions was that we actually have to redraw the congressional map, and even if that is not the case, in my opinion, this body should redraw the congressional map. And the reason for that is, number one, the state constitution is clear that it's this body, the House and the Senate, that draws the congressional map. And the map that we're currently under right now was drawn by a group of unelected special masters without a vote of this body. And again, that is not the will of the state of the citizens of North Carolina as expressed through our written constitution. The citizens of this state have decided through that written constitution that their elected representatives, the Supreme Court often uses a phrase similar to the people of the state get to decide, and they decide through their elected representatives in the General Assembly. And that's the way it's been for a long time, perhaps since the founding of this state, perhaps even prior to that, when we had a colonial government. And so I think it is important that the congressional map that we run under is one that this body approves, and not one that's just approved by a group of folks who were not elected by the people of this state. Second, I would say I understand my friend's concern at all, and it is rightly so. Nobody wants their county to be split up, and I don't take any issue with that at all. If it were mathematically possible, I wish there were a way to draw it to where you didn't have to split any counties at all. But unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, based upon what the law is and what the population is of our state and the number of counties we have to split some counties. And so it's not really a question of, you know, whether we should split counties. It's a question of, we know we have to split counties, which ones will be split. And so I take no issue with any member arguing and debating and trying to make sure that their county is kept whole. But finally, I would say, you know, as to the partisan lean argument, and, you know, there's no doubt that the map that you see before you today in many ways is drawn to create Republican-leaning districts while also complying with more the traditional redistricting criteria. I'll touch a bit on or expound a little bit on the argument that I said the other day about the state house map and I've said in committee some, you know, about the issue of generally right now the Democratic Party doesn't compete in almost three quarters of our state. And rightfully so, some of my friends on the other side said, well, you guys on the other side, you don't compete in the urban areas. And we need to do a better job. I'd love to, you know, for us to win downtown Raleigh and, you know, uptown Charlotte. We need to do a better job at that. But generally in North Carolina, there's sort of three sets of regions like that. You've got urban, you've got rural. You guys do real well on that. We do real well on rural. But then there's also suburban. And that's where all this money gets spent on these elections, and that's where things are swayed back and forth. But as a general matter, right now in North Carolina, Republicans tend to have a little bit of an upper hand when it comes to the suburbs. And the fact is, for that reason, that's why we're able to draw a map like that you see before you today that creates several districts where that are Republican-leaning, rather. And so I think, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way at all, I just mean it as a matter of fact, that I don't know that it's possible to draw a map that creates as many Democratic-leaning districts as this map may create in a Republican-leaning district. So you've heard it reported, this map is 10-3-1, or 11-3. And of course, what they're saying is based upon past election results, and if we extrapolate those on the now, that's what we would expect to get. Now, of course, we know elections change every time, regions change every time, and so that's not an exact science. But my point is, I don't think that it's possible, really, to draw a map where Democrats had 11 districts that would tend to favor Democrats and still have it adhere in any way to traditional redistricting criteria. You would have to have a map that looks somewhat similar to the map I passed out to you in the for the state house version, the 2000 version of the state house. And the reason for that, again, is North Carolina's natural political geography. Because as I said the other day, it's winning big in urban areas and trying to swamp out the rest of the state is a great strategy for a statewide race. But as we all know, members of this body don't run statewide. We represent districts. And so when you're thinking about that math of statewide races, you've also got to account for the fact that all of our districts are not in the same place. They're spread out. The voters of North Carolina don't live in sort of equal and perfect boxes. They're spread out over that time. And that's ultimately the reason that this body's able to put forth a district like a congressional map like this and hopefully pass it here in just a moment. So with all that said, I've spoken long enough on this amendment to draw somebody else into the debate, so perhaps I should not have done that. But obviously, members, and respectfully to my friend Representative Quick, who I think a lot of, I unfortunately have to ask the members to vote no on this particular amendment. And as I continue to talk, there's number three, so I'm going to sit down.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise.
To debate the amendment a second time. The
gentleman has the floor.
And again, there's mutual admiration between me and the rules chair, so meaning no disrespect at all in anything that I say. But I've also heard the rules chair say that a gentleman was brought in from Ohio to help draw maps. And as I recall correctly, you can't be a registered voter in Ohio and in North Carolina at the same time. So when he points out the fact that maps North Carolina generated, but then a gentleman from Ohio comes in to help draw them, that doesn't match up together. I'm asking you to support this amendment because, again, North Carolina politics is not gerrymandered. North Carolina politics is one that every vote should count. Every voter should have their vote count an equal weight. And the 2022 maps that were drawn by those who, as best I can remember, were from North Carolina, those maps more accurately give the voters the opportunity to make their selections clear. So please support my amendment, even if it wasn't mine. Support this good amendment, and let's continue to vote as we did in 2022.
For what purpose, gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
To debate the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
Yep, I was inspired. As he kept talking, I wanted to get up and say something. But I had the pleasure of to serve on the redistricting committee for a third term. And so we've done this well and not so well. But I, you know, as I look at this and I look at the differences between last session's map to this one, the partisan difference is glaring. And I think the people of North Carolina are, you know, they call us a purple state, and they expect us to be able to send good representation to D.C. And what they don't want to do, and what we see happening in D.C., is complete chaos. And so going from 7-7 to adding more of the same party to that doesn't bode well. You can't justify it. I think just today they elected a speaker. Is that correct? After weeks and months. And so the question is who wants to join that? The second is why send more? Because we don't want to add on to the chaos that has gridlocked and potentially can shut the government down. And so that's just an observation for people to consider. And, you know, again, God bless whoever fills those seats. And the second thing that I want to say is, you know, what would you all be saying if Democrats had the power of the pen? And I believe in people who've been here longer than I have. I think everybody prior to 2010 was hollering redistricting committee, independent redistricting committee. When you didn't have the power to do so, you wanted things to be equal and just. And so we're just asking for that same ability to think about what we can do to be most fair to the people of North Carolina, to make sure that every vote counts and that elections do matter. And as I shared in committee, I think people got the point that someone like Robert Reeves should be able to grow up in any single county in North Carolina, be in one of these districts and have a fair shot, right? Someone who is the best of us. But that sort of also goes to, you know, Representative Moore or Representative Clemens or Representative Baker from Cabarrus and Staten Williams. I mean, I don't think we would, you know, add Keith Kidwell to that list, but you get the point, right? But the people who should, and people who are good public servants that we think of as opportunities to build and work across the aisle, they should be able to have a fair chance at any seat in the state of North Carolina. And these seats just don't, the way these are drawn, just don't sort of get there.
Mr. Speaker, I don't hope I wasn't disparaging a member. I was just giving a fact there. But I think you get the point. And you should be able to feel that same way. If you wanted to run in any seat in North Carolina, Baker, you should be able to do that and feel like your ability to work across the aisle and knock on doors should have an impact. And it doesn't necessarily do that. So I just wanted to deposit those few cents to make sure that it, you know, you remembered how you felt when you didn't have the power of the pen and how you will feel when you don't have the power of the pen, because the day will come. The second thing is, again, making sure that we don't add to the chaos in D.C. And making sure that we're electing, you know, people that are as balanced as North Carolina. I think that one of the members that's currently there in the Speaker Pro Tem position is probably, on his side of the aisle, one of the most sane people that is in the body and probably should have stepped up. But I do think that we want to make sure that we're thinking about who we send and how we're being represented and what we're doing to make sure that people get served, not just in the House and the Senate here, but in that body of which we have complete control of how those districts are gone. And then again, lastly, that any member of this body that wants to step up and be somewhere and wants to serve and wants to do that should have a fair shot. And North Carolinians think that's the way this happens. I don't know if we get outside of our partisan bubbles much, but most people who are just doing the work every single day think that they should be able to have a fair shot. That's why they put their names on the ballot. You see people that are completely non-political that jump out and say, I want to run for Congress. I want to run for some of these seats, and they get blown away when they realize that they don't have a shot. And so let's just do what's fair. Let's just do what's right. Vote for this because it is an opportunity to take us back to 7-7, and that's equal and that's balanced, and that's the purple state that we are. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Quick. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk of the lot machine record the vote. 40 having voted in the affirmative and 64 in the negative. The amendment is not adopted. We're now going to discussion debate on the bill. For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I hope I don't repeat too much of what I said yesterday, but I want to talk a little bit about process and substance. On the process bit, gosh, if you read any of the public comments, if you attended any of the public hearings, you heard how the public said they wanted more transparency, more opportunity to comment, the opportunity to comment on the maps once they were drawn. We had 63 public hearings in 2011 redraw. We had 14 in each of the congressional districts in 2021. And in this time around, y'all know we had 3 in places that weren't particularly convenient, at times that weren't particularly convenient, and it was before the maps were drawn, so no one was able to tell us how they felt that this map might impact them directly. So I'm very frustrated by that, and the sort of the lack of transparency, the fact that these were drawn in back rooms and not in the public, and it's very frustrating when you read through the comments and you hear how strongly the public was interested in this opportunity to participate in this redraw. So I think it's worth noting in that. And I said this yesterday because the comments were somewhat general, but we had out of the 507 comments that were reviewed prior to yesterday's distribution, there were every 506 of them said no more gerrymandering, and a big chunk of them said to make sure that we were protecting minority voters. And there was a good slew of those that were asking for an independent redistricting committee, which we've mentioned many times, and there are all kinds of opportunities for us to move on some of those fair maps bills. So on the process, I think we fail. So we get an F on that because we really did not do a good job of including the public on this super important map. On the substance, it's not clear to me that once again, that we have complied with federal law. It's been said that there was no racially polarized voting analysis that was performed. The Milligan decision that was issued in June repeated the fact that this was an important part of the complying with the Voting Rights Act. It looks like this map, the District 1, is looks like it's become even more Republican, representing that northeastern part of the corner of the state that I referenced yesterday in the Voting Rights Act discussion. So it's not clear whether, but that there's a good chance we may have violated the Voting Rights Act. And there have been a few statements that we've had voting, the racially polarized voting analyses performed in the past, but the most recent one that was done, 2021, I read you what the actual, the social scientist who, his comments in this deposition that were included in the brief in that litigation admitted that it wasn't performed for that purpose and it wouldn't qualify to be considered a racially polarized voting analysis. So to the extent that we are relying on that, it's faulty. But then I just look at the map. Y'all have got it on your dashboard, but I got a big map in front of me. And I know I made this comment last year. Guilford, obviously, and Representative Quick articulated it well. I mean, it's crazy. I was doing the overlay of the legislative districts on the Guilford map, and it looks like Representative Faircloth now has three congressional districts in his district. I think Representative Quick does too. I just have two, and Representative Clemens has two, and I think actually, Brockman, Hardesters is one and Brockman's one, but that makes for a lot of confusion for the voters. But more importantly, why are we doing this? This is a significantly large metropolitan county in the state, and it has served us well. And if you read the comments in the public, continually those from the triad, they said this in 2021 when they came down here, and they repeated it this time around to keep Guilford County and the triad whole. I said this last year, but the only thing I can think of that this district, this new District 5 that circles from downtown Greensboro to Tennessee border has in common is my late great-grandfather Julian Price, who was buried in downtown Greensboro. His old house is there, and then it goes out to Watauga County where he had a big family farm that's now the Julian Price National Park. Really there's nothing about this that makes sense. Similarly, we heard a lot of comments about the Sandhills, that Fayetteville split, the Sandhills folks made a real big noise about wanting to be, held together. And, it just really looking at 13, which is, removed from being primarily Wake and Johnson to having this oddly shaped circle around up to the Virginia border. And, none of this serves the public well, and this is not what they want. And, I'm not gonna belabor the point because I've made it for the past, 3 days, and I just urge you to vote no on this map. Thank you.
What purpose the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Like my colleague, Mr. Hawkins, I'm on the redistricting committee also. I didn't say anything during Representative Quick's amendment discussion because I was going to save what I had to say until now. I think it's important for all of us in here to try to be deliberative about what we do, and I'm sure we try. But this stuff we're dealing with right here, I call it the third rail of politics because it's about voting. It's how people express their view, and they get one person, one vote. And so we should have a great deal of respect for each and every voter in North Carolina, the Republicans, the unaffiliated, and the Democrats, and try the best we can to really take that as a sacred trust. We call this bill the realignment bill. When we're really not realigning, we're changing the rules. We're changing the substance of what we had to do. Now, after the courts ruled, because a lot went into court ruling, it was 7-7, we could have left it alone, just like one of my colleagues said. But no, we're going to go back and circle back in and make it partisan. And the sad thing about partisanship, regardless of which line you're on, you get locked in the silos. And you say, I can't do this because what would my party think? I can't do that because what would my party think? And that's sad. There have been times on this floor that I've gotten up and I've voted, and it's been so-and-so to three, and I've been in the three because my principle drives that. Sometimes we have to put aside party and look at principle. So what principle is at stake here? The principle at stake is everybody knows that this state splits virtually in half in a lot of elections. So if you're in the controlling party, you can take advantage of the game right now. But that's not the way the people want to vote. So you get these fancy word balkanized districts all around the state. And you say, well, we can take 3-4 seats from the Democrats in Congress. And then I hear on the news, well, New York is probably doing the same thing the other way, so it's probably all going to come out about the same anyway. Maybe. Who knows? But that's not where our heads should be. Our heads should be, what's the best thing to do for the people of North Carolina? And so I happen to live in an urban area. And when I sat down and do my remarks, I thought about this because a lot of times there's an urban-rural divide. But just because I live in a city now doesn't mean that I don't support the state of North Carolina. I know this is a tobacco state. I'm not a smoker, but it's an important crop. And I had a job one time where I had to defend the ASCS and the Tobacco Stabilization Program, and I did it with all the guts and brains I had, not because I was a tobacco farmer, but that's my state, and this is an important product in my state. Also, same thing for forestry. It's important for the fishing industry. I live in the city, but those are important industries to me. I want to see good schools. I live in a rich county. But I want to see good schools for every child in North Carolina, all across this state, all 100 counties. I don't have to think that way, but my heart and my head tells me that is the right thing to do. And we should do the right thing in drawing these lines, but we're talking about people's right to vote. It's precious, the third rail of politics, your right to vote. Not just take advantage of something because you happen to have the numbers. Now, also, same thing about education. I just said that. Also, the same thing is true, ultimately, about family, faith, and friends. There came a time in this country, and sometimes in the state, you listen to stupid ads on the radio, act like Democrats don't care about their families. Democrats don't have faith. Democrats, you know, they paint an ugly picture of Democrats in these stupid commercials on TV. I get sick and tired of them. I wish they could run. And if one were in charge of it who was fair, you'd say, of course that's not right. I don't believe the average person in here. I met a lot of people on the side of the aisle. Think those ads are right either. But that's what you hear on the radio. You got one ad running now saying that the President of the United States doesn't want people to vote. Something stupid like that. I checked into it up in D.C. And that has to do with a local issue. Had nothing to do with federal elections. But when you hear the ad, it's misleading. I had to check into it. Ad's false. It's running on the biggest radio station in Raleigh. But let me get down to the point, the reason I took my feet on this bill. So we go from 7-7 to 10-3-1. I guess that one is the district that Representative Davis is in, I guess. And that's supposed to be fair. I suggest to you that what happens if power gets misused when you have it, eventually you meet yourself coming back. May not happen tomorrow or the next day, but eventually the people out there who aren't in here, who don't understand the intricacies of bills and so forth, get it. So when you sow the wind, old folks used to say, you reap the whirlwind. Whirlwind's coming if we do this kind of thing and keep doing it and keep doing it. Just because the court said we could doesn't mean we should. So, if partisan advantage is what the aim is, in a state where most elections for governor and U.S. Senate split pretty closely, then we can do the partisan thing and see how it plays out with the Congress. And like Mr. Hall said, Senator Daniel, I asked him in the committee what they thought would happen. They said to me with a straight face, we don't know. I said, well, when did you start doing this process? Well, back in December. And these are smart guys. And I said, you mean to tell me, basically, that you didn't know what the outcome would be? They said they were working for a political outcome. And of course they are. And all I wanted them to tell me was straight up, yes. And what your number is. What were you aiming for? You didn't sit in there for 5 months and not know what you were aiming for. Come on, guys. Like a friend of mine used to say, my name must not be Abe anymore. My name must be Darn Fool, if I'm going to believe that. You know that's not accurate. But that's what they're going to sell to me just a couple hours ago over there across the street. We don't know. And they did know. Of course they know. If they don't know, they didn't do their job. All I wanted as a member of this body is for you to give me your number. That's all. I can't do anything about it. You can outvote me, but be straight up with me. And that was a peculiar answer, I'll put it that way. Because I know if I'd done the job, I would know the number. But the difference is, I would have told them. We're trying to make it 10-3-1 or 11-3 or whatever. That's our goal because we have the political power to do it. And you need to win some more elections. I would have preferred that answer because that's a straight man-to-man answer, straight up. Instead of playing the game. Now, this map splits the three big counties, Mecklenburg, Wake, and Guilford. And I know there's a lot of people living in those counties, certainly a lot of people living in Wake, and to a certain extent you have to split them. But did they have to chop them into three parts instead of two? I don't think so. I think some of these guys down the street of state could have tried to draw it up better than that. It's just math. But no, they had to do that. And then you look at how much thought had to go into putting this out. And it's very intriguing to me. Because the courts say, all this litigation took place, now y'all won, go and do what you need to do, instead of saying, well, why don't we be fair about it? Instead, they produce a political map. And I'm about done, but I tell you this story. This is the definition of fairness. I watched a TV story one time. It was about the first black man who went to West Point. And he went through a lot of hazing and a lot of people dumping on him and so forth. And he got through his 4 years. They didn't just haze him his plebe year. They hazed him all 4 years. And at the end of the story, they asked the actual guy, it was acted out, but they asked the actual guy, how'd you feel? And he laughed. He said, well, you know, I'm in the Army, and I'm a pretty tough guy. And the reporter pressed him some more, said, no, how did you really feel? And this is what he said, and this is the definition if you think in your own hearts and minds you should be thinking about today. When you're in the power, the Democrats aren't. What's fair? And what that guy said is this, and this is the definition in my mind of fairness. I wouldn't have done it to them. I wouldn't have done it to them. And I promise you, if I sat where you sat, or sitting, I wouldn't vote for messing over the Republicans. I don't want this seat that badly.
What purpose does gentleman?
Thank you. And I'm done.
Representative Howard?
I was going to ask if we were still debating the bill, but I see that the gentleman is finished. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Longus from Wake, you're recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Fellow members of the House, there is no act we undertake that says more about us than the drawing of district lines. Draw a competitive map with many close seats, and we show confidence. Draw a map that treats voters the same, regardless of their partisan affiliation, and we demonstrate fairness. On the other hand, with every line we draw in pursuit of partisan advantage, with every decision that packs or cracks voters based on their partisan affiliation, we diminish the ability of voters to make their voices heard in elections that matter, and we diminish ourselves. There is no question that the congressional map we are voting on now is an extreme partisan gerrymander. Partisan gerrymandering does not just mean a failure to be proportional to the statewide vote share. It means that some voters cannot translate their votes into seats to the same degree as another group of voters in a way that can't be explained by geography alone, but only by the choice of the map maker. Although I represent an urban district, I was born and raised in the eastern part of this state, and I know my party has work to do to rebuild in rural areas. But the result foreordained by this map is not explainable by geography alone. This map secures more Republican seats than 100,000 randomly generated maps. That is not explainable by geography, but deliberate redistricting to maximize partisan advantage. That being said, it doesn't take a statistical expert to understand the harm of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering offends our basic sense of fairness. For voters, for ordinary folks, voting under a gerrymandered map is like playing the midway games at the state fair. It's shrinking the target for one group of voters while expanding it for another. Every child understands intuitively how a rigged game is unfair, yet it seems some of us have forgotten it along the way. And while some voters' voices count for less and others count for more, all voters lose. First, gerrymandering converts the election that matters from the general election to the primary. Under such a system, the victor is not the candidate who can bring together diverse elements of the community and govern for the good of the whole, but rather the candidate who best appeals to the extremes. The predictable result of making gerrymandering more and more extreme over the years is the kind of Congress we have now, where no representative can win sufficient votes both in their caucus and on the floor to become speaker. Time will tell if we still have a speaker in a few weeks. And a vocal minority of a caucus can shut down government against the will of the majority. A vote for this map is a vote to double down on this kind of government. This gerrymandering arms race creates a far more insidious harm than the temporary harm of being frozen out of power. It insulates us to such an extent that it severs the connection between the voters and their representative. Individual legislators begin to feel more accountable to the mapmaker and the party machine behind him than the voters who officially elected them. Our political system works when changes in the electorate can result in changes in political representation. When those channels of change are choked off by gerrymandering, the people stop believing their government represents them. The system bends until it breaks. And while the party in power wins in the short term, in the long run, it's the people that lose. I'm one of the youngest members of this body. My generation has come of age in a system that many of us see as broken. My no vote today is a vote against gerrymandering for partisan gain and against the kind of political system it produces. I hope you will join me.
Representative Quick of Guilford, you're recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and I'll be brief because my comments that I made when I proposed the amendment still stand and stand as a reason why I will be voting no on this map as well. The potential threat to the Voting Rights Act, the unnecessary partisan division of the state of North Carolina, but also another more practical reason that I'll be voting no. From central Greensboro to Watauga County, I live very close to a Zaxby's restaurant. From Zaxby's restaurant where I live to Tar Heel Poodles and Doodles in Sugar Grove, North Carolina, it's 3 hours and 36 minutes driving. It would take you 3 days to walk it. But yet and still, we would have the same congressional district. It makes absolutely no sense because the needs of the owners of that fine business, Tar Heel Poodles and Doodles, are different than the needs of those who live and shop in central Greensboro. A more compact map would have partnered Guilford County, for example, with Alamance County, which is left completely whole. We have more in common in Guilford and Alamance County, certainly, than we do in Guilford County and Watauga County. And so I ask you to please vote no on this map.
Gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reese, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And this ain't gonna be a speech, so nobody leave because we're getting ready to vote. But I just want to point out a couple of things, and I appreciate the rules chair discussion a little earlier. I just want to be clear about amendments to this map. One, we got the map when the public got the map. So this entire Democratic caucus had that long to do anything. Two, there were some amendments allowed, but what was very clear is that there weren't going to be amendments allowed that significantly changed the partisan makeup of the map. And out of consideration for that, those amendments were not put forth. We had a ton of amendments we would have loved to have put forth. So us not putting those amendments forth, I don't think should be interpreted as feeling like we had a fair opportunity to be involved in this process. That was the reality of the fact that at least one of us, that would be me, can count and understand that if they're not going to be accepted, I'm not going to sit here and send amendment after amendment after amendment for those changes. So I want to make sure that was clear. Two, I also wanted to be clear about one thing. We've talked a lot about the maps that the Constitution tells us, the elected officials, to do the maps. But let's be clear, the authority for these maps was delegated to a map maker from Ohio. That is no different than if we were talking about letting an independent commission put together some maps and then bring it to us for a final discussion. So there's absolutely, and in fact, I would have more confidence in that. So I want to be clear about that. Finally, I would just tell you a quick story about gerrymandering so you can understand how it works, because this is not about partisan gerrymandering. This isn't about racial gerrymandering. This is what gerrymandering actually means in a practical sense. So a lot of you know I'm originally from Lee County. So in Lee County, I guess it's been about 35 years ago now. It was probably about 40 years ago. What happened is, if you notice, Lee County is a red county. But the city of Sanford continues to vote blue. It votes so blue that four of the city, all the city councilmen except one are Democratic and four of them are African American, which is significantly different than our county commission. How does this relate to gerrymandering? So all of your African Americans live in the city of Sanford. Well, why is that? It's not that African Americans didn't want to live in the county, didn't want to have tons of property and be able to look around and all that kind of stuff. But our reality is that in counties like Lee and counties, all rural counties, a lot of the people who are able to live out in the county have access to that land for various reasons, bequeathed from generation to generation. I can't tell you how many people will tell you they are sixth and seventh generation. And without being indelicate, I would just say that a lot of the African Americans in Sanford did not have the opportunity to have five generations of land ownership. So a lot, when they were able to buy homes, bought homes in the city, which means they were a congregated group, not necessarily by choice, but by necessity. If you wanted to own a home, that was it. And also understand, a lot of these African Americans, my grandfather was the first person in my family to own a home. You know, his father owned a home later, but after my grandfather was grown and able to get his own home and then help my great-grandfather to get his home. So how that relates to gerrymandering is this, and why it's important to have representation. So with the county commission, you could not elect, African-Americans could not elect the candidate of their choice, because that huge population, because Lee's not a big county, but that huge population in the middle of Sanford got split into seven different districts at the time, but between five and seven districts. So, of course, you're looking at 10 to 15% of each district was African-American, and I mean, you can't have any meaningful discussion there. So there was a lawsuit, that got changed, and a district was drawn. Well, thank goodness that district was drawn, because not too long after that district was drawn to allow African-Americans to pick the candidate of their choice, then a landfill was coming to town. I don't know why, I don't know how, and I see a shaking head that remembers when this happened. So that landfill was going to be put dead in the center of a nice African-American neighborhood. So remember, these folks who had just had the opportunity to buy homes were now getting ready to have a county commission that potentially was going to put a landfill in the middle. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I would tend to think a landfill might bring your house price down, land value down a little bit. If that's fair to say, I don't think that's a Democratic or Republican thing. That's a reality. Had they not had representation on that board, nobody would be there to say, you know what, we think it's a bad idea to put a landfill in the middle of a working class African-American neighborhood full of people who are the first generation homeowners. Thank goodness that district had been forced to be drawn by the federal government. And because of that, there was a representative there to bring that to the attention of good commissioners. And in fact, I don't mind telling you, it was a Republican-led board at the time. But just like us, they wouldn't have known why this was an issue without somebody there as a representative for these folks to say, hey, guys, this is a bad idea. And in fairness, there was one commissioner who knew what he was doing. But our folks didn't vote party lines. They did the right thing. And they said, we're not going to let that happen. All of that happened because somebody saw the need to have representation for a group of people who did not have representation. And I hope that's a practical understanding of why this is it. So we get caught up in whether or not we're going to pass a bill that favors Democrat majority or favors a Republican majority or anything like that. When I talk about representation, that's representation. Literally having somebody who can raise their hand and say, hey. And I could go into what was going on with fracking up here whenever I got up here. Same thing. Everybody's good with something bad happening in somebody else's neighborhood. And that's just the truth. Everybody's good with somebody else not getting resources. That's why you need good, even-handed representation to bring the other point into view. So I hope, again, I know this isn't going to affect today's vote, but I'm hoping next biennium, because a lot of you with the way these maps are drawn know that you're coming back. So I'm hoping next biennium, you'll be able to kind of think about it in that sense. And I wish I had thought about it yesterday when I'd argue, because that is a practical sense. Because to me, there is nothing more special than home ownership. And we affect whether people can buy homes, where they can buy homes, where they're going to be able to live, and whether or not their kids are going to be able to stay there. Because if that landfill had hit in Lee County, then going forward, I probably don't get to buy a house right there beside my dad as my first house. You know, his grandkids, my kids wouldn't have the opportunity to go there if they want to, or come to Chatham County if they want to. Those are the kind of things that are practical effects of what happens when we don't give people representation. So again, less about today, more about as we move forward, understanding we're not asking for representation for people just for fun. We're not asking. I know we say fair a lot, and I know fair doesn't resonate with folks. But I'm saying, folks, people need to have a voice, sometimes just to let you know what you don't know. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 757 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative, 40 in the negative. Senate Bill 757 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 757 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 757, having passed its third reading, is ordered enrolled. Representative Crutchfield is recognized to send forth the conference report. Clerk will read.
Conference report, Senate Bill 409, to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conference is appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives of Senate Bill 409, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the offense of breaking or entering into or breaking out of railroad cars, motor vehicles, trailers, aircraft, boats, or other watercraft at all. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. State conferees approved report October 25th, 2023. Conferees for the Senate. Senators Danny Earl Britt, Chair. Senators McInnes, Daniel. Conferees for the House of Representatives. Representatives Crutchfield, Pirtle, Miller.
Bills add to the calendar for today. Message from the Senate. Clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 409, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the offense of breaking or entering into or breaking out of railroad cars, motor vehicles, trailers, aircrafts, boats, or other watercraft at all. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. Further messages from the Senate. Clerk may read.
The following special message is received from the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution 760, Second Edition, a joint resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening.
Bill is added to today's calendar. Senate Bill 758, the clerk will read.
Senators Hines, Daniel, P. Newton, Senate Bill 758, a bill to be entitled, an act to realign the North Carolina Senate districts, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is the state Senate map drawn completely by the senators, and as is often the case, you know, they defer to us on the House map. And generally we defer to them on the Senate map. So not my map, but I'll just ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose of the lady from Wake, Representative Crawford, rise?
To speak to the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a former member of the North Carolina Senate, I do feel compelled to speak on these maps, and lots of people ask me, which chamber do I like better? And seeing one of my former Senate colleagues in here, I'm going to not answer that question today. Yesterday, I had the great and timely opportunity to be a guest speaker at a high school U.S. history class about redistricting. The students have been studying Shaw versus Reno, the 1993 case regarding the North Carolina 12th Congressional District, and current events and headlines regarding our process. We started class yesterday with each student offering an I wonder statement. Students wondered about many things. I wonder why someone would have to move. I wonder why gerrymandering is still happening. I wonder what the General Assembly is going to do to prevent gerrymandering. I wonder why it is okay for politicians to pick their voters. All of these I wonder statements have a central theme: fairness. What is fair? Our young people know. Our young people know that fairness is not purposefully drawing districts to give an advantage to one party, as in the case of the New Hanover Hook and our urban counties, particularly Wake and Mecklenburg, where gerrymandered districts were drawn to achieve a Republican supermajority and unnecessarily double bunk certain members. Our young people know that fairness is protecting voters from vote dilution, which is not what this map does, particularly in districts 1 and 2, as noted by the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. These two districts are in violation of the Voting Rights Act, diluting the voting strength of black voters in North Carolina. And it is worth noting that the only reason these are the only two districts named in the letter from SCSJ is because the timeline was so truncated and the process so exclusive that there simply wasn't time to perform additional analyses. And guess what? Our young people know that maps being drawn in back rooms without transparency and no time to analyze also isn't fair. Not to mention the costly tab to taxpayers to litigate these VRA violations. Last year, the cost was $15 million. I can only imagine what kind of tab we will mount with these maps. And that isn't fair. It is clear that our young people understand the fundamental principles of democracy. That is the people who hold the power, the people, not us. That democracy is when power and civic responsibility are exercised by all citizens directly or through their freely elected representatives. And when maps predetermine the outcome of our elections, we steal the very power granted to the people in a democratic government. Based on an analysis of these maps, looking at historical voting data, these Senate maps result in a Republican supermajority, 31 Republicans, 19 Democrats. In 100,000 other computer-generated maps that researchers considered, none of them came up with as unbalanced numbers as these. And in a 50-50 state, you might expect that fair maps would give you a much more balanced outcome. The people of North Carolina expect us to represent them. And if we don't, they should be able to hold us accountable and vote us out. These Senate maps ensure that the likelihood of that happening is pretty low. And that's not fair either. I have two children, 12 and 14. And they like to tell me all the time when something isn't fair. They say, "Mom, that's not fair." And as a parent, I often reply, like a lot of other parents in here, "Well, life isn't fair." And it's not. Every single one of us know that in this room. But when we have a choice, especially when the people of North Carolina have given us the privilege to exercise that choice, I would hope that we would choose every single time what is fair. Please vote no on this bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 758 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 63 having voted in the affirmative and 40 in the negative. Senate Bill 758 passes second reading and will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 758 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 758 having passed its third reading is ordered enrolled. Before we move on to the other two bills, we still have two bills left. I just wanted to, on behalf of all the members, thank our central staff that have worked so hard, so diligently on this process. We do it so often, you guys are becoming experts, it appears. But I want to do thank you for what you've done, your hard work. I'd ask colleagues, please join me in thanking our central staff for their efforts with my legislation. Senate Bill 409, court will read.
Conference report, Senate Bill 409, a bill to be entitled Various Changes to Criminal and Civil Laws the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Rockingham, Representative Pirtle, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I make a motion to adopt the conference report, Senate Bill 409.
The gentleman has moved adoption of the conference report and has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's several parts to this bill, and we'll work diligently to make sure that it come across the finish line. Part one, this body's already heard, it increases the punishment for cargo theft. We passed that 90-8 overwhelmingly. Parts two and three is aggregation of financial crimes come before us. This allows the state to bring one financial crime prosecution case for more than one victim to, and for more than one county, combine all that into one legislative action. We passed that 114-0. Part four is the pilot program. It creates a pilot program to allow DOT to enter into agreement with the SBI to use the automatic license plate readers within the land or right-of-way owned by DOT. The license plate readers could only be used for law enforcement purposes, including criminal investigations, apprehending suspects on an outstanding warrant, or locating missing or endangered persons, or a lost or stolen vehicle. Part five is a technical correction to merge duplicate language that was included in Senate Bill 579. And part six expands the language that makes the state fire marshal an independent office. I'll stand for any questions. I ask for your support, your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 409. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Johnson, aye. Hall of Caldwell, aye. Representative Butler, wish to vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 94 having voted in the affirmative and 9 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 409. And the Senate will be so notified. Senate Joint Resolution 760. The clerk will read.
Senator Daniels, Senate Joint Resolution 760, a joint resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening. The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So finally, at last, we've got an adjournment resolution before us. And my tie today is not because we're a purple state. Of course, it's because we're hoping to adjourn today. With that said, as you'll see in the resolution, it brings us back basically monthly for the next several months. But there will be an automatic adjournment, so unless you hear from the Speaker's office or the Minority Leader's office otherwise, there won't be any votes during those sessions that will occur roughly every month. The exact dates are in the joint resolution that you have before you, and the joint resolution dates go all the way until the short session, and I'll note that date, the first day of short session, will be Wednesday, April 24th. We'll convene at 12 noon. And so obviously as we get closer in time to that, you'll get some more guidance as to what's going to actually happen that day or if it's the following week in terms of votes. The bills that are to be considered, there's no surprises there. Just typical bills that are allowed after long session ends. So with that, please support that resolution and get us out of here.
Further discussion, further debate. What purpose delay from Guilford? Representative Harrison, rise.
A question for the bill sponsor, please.
Gentlemen, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward to this. I just, in the past, the adjournment resolutions had contained language about the possibility of impeachment proceedings, and I'm not seeing it now, but I just want to confirm that that is not in there.
Let me take a look, Representative Harrison, just one second.
Line 25 of page 1.
I'm told that it actually is there, so Representative Ferrison, if you want to send me those impeachment articles you're thinking about, I'd be glad to take a look at them for you. Maybe we can join in that bill together.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House passes Senate Joint Resolution 760 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Willingham wished to vote. Representative Hawkins wished to vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 80 having voted in the affirmative and 23 wanting to stay here. Senate Joint Resolution 760 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 760 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 760, having passed its third reading, is ordered and rolled. Notices and announcements. The body will, members, that was the adoption of the resolution. That was not the actual adjournment. So we have a few other matters. So, and if I see any of the 23 packing their bags yet, notices and announcements. For what purpose? Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bellrise.
For announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Republicans, we're going to have a short members-only caucus in 1228 immediately upon session, so please be prompt.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, rise.
Recognize a member.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of minutes to tell you about a young man I met one time. About 13 years ago, I changed my things I was doing to earn money for my family, and I decided to run for office. And so I started telling people I was going to do this, and there was a couple that my wife and I knew, and we visited them. That we both had been in real estate together, and that while we were there visiting, their son came in, and we were introduced to him. And then probably a month or so later, I got a call from him, and he wanted to help me get elected. And I said, well, what do you know about all this political stuff? He said he didn't know much. He wanted to learn something. This Saturday is the birthday of that young man, and he's doing very good on what he learned. Let's see, that's Representative Hardister. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
What purpose, the gentleman from Craven, Representative Tyson, rise.
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In light of the fact that I can unequivocally tell you I won't be here Friday, and I doubt many of you will, I wanted to take this opportunity to wish a very special person a happy birthday. My seatmate, Erin Perret, will have a birthday Friday, and I just love this woman to death.
What purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To make an announcement.
He has the floor.
For everyone who will now be relaxing and have a good weekend, I just want you to be thinking Sunday morning when you're sound asleep of one of our colleagues. I kind of question her mental capacity, but she will be in Washington, D.C. at an ultra marathon 31-mile race. Former senator, current representative, probably soon to be dead, Sarah Crawford.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Polk, Representative Johnson, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
House Oversight Committee will meet next Wednesday, the 1st, at 1 p.m. in the auditorium upstairs. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
Quick announcement.
The gentleman has four.
In light of Majority Bill Leader's announcement, Democrats will not be caucusing after session today. So in case you guys are sick of being here, you might want to join a caucus where we're not meeting. So anyway, thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Rockingham, Representative Pirtle, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say thank you. As many of you know, I lost my mother-in-law this week. And I appreciate the kind words and the comments from all the members and staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Pirtle. Please know you all remain in our thoughts and prayers. Just a couple things on, want to let folks know. Two of our staff members that had been with us, have resigned and now are both working in the private sector. Of course, Corey and Britt Bryson, who also have a little baby boy as well. Y'all remember seeing them around, and so they're now doing well, and everybody's great, and they've taken some positions in the private sector. And also, Beth Friedrich, who has just walked in the back, has announced that she is going into the private sector as well, has worked, of course, on economic development policy for our office. And I just wanted to thank them for their service and ask my colleagues to do the same as well, if you would. Beth, wishing you all the best. Thank you for your service to the state of North Carolina. And Corey and Britt. Members, we've reached the end of the day and the end of session, which has finally come. The leaves have turned, but at least there's no snow on the ground, so I guess that's progress. Just want to thank each and every one of you for the time that everyone has put in this session working on policies that have made a great deal of importance to North Carolina. Want to wish each and every one of you a great and restful break during our adjournment. And I hope you have some good time back with family and friends and travel and other things other than being here voting on bills. With that, I want to thank each of you for your service and wish you the best. Anything further to come before the body? And by the way, I got to thank the clerk's office. James, you and your team, really appreciate what all you guys do. And our sergeant at arms. Thank you. These folks are here long after we're gone. In fact, I guess we'll be here kind of late tonight ratifying. So I'll be with you. Seeing nothing further to come before the body, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Senate Joint Resolution 760 and subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, November 29th, 2023 at 12 o'clock noon.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Potts. That pursuant to Senate Joint Resolution 760 and subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1, the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, November 29th, 2023 at 12 noon. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Reading of a representative statement, the clerk will read.
A representative statement observing Filipino History Month. Whereas in the month of October, we celebrate Filipino American History Month to commemorate the arrival of the first Filipinos in America in what is now Morro Bay, California on October 18, 1587. And the generations of Filipino Americans have immigrated to or been born on American soil since then. And whereas this month recognizes the Filipino Americans who have positively influenced and enriched our state and our country with art, culture, science, history, stories, and whereas the Filipino experience is not one single narrative. It is multifaceted, fluid, and combines both Western and Eastern influences to create a history that is unique and complex. And whereas Filipinos are the first documented group of Asian Americans to join the fabric of American life, society, and culture, as well as the third largest Asian American group in the United States. Despite their large presence and rich history, Filipino Americans are often underrepresented, even in AAPI spaces. The Filipino story is integral to the American story and, whereas Filipino Americans have positively enriched our country as entrepreneurs, artists, small business owners, doctors, nurses, teachers, and essential workers. We honor the sacrifices of Filipino American soldiers in World War II in the U.S. Navy and Army in the Civil War. We recognize the achievements of labor organizers like Larry Long,
We show pride for gold medalists like Olympic diver Vicky Milano-Draves, actresses like Leah Salana, and singers like Olivia Rodrigo. And whereas we recognize the significant contributions of all Filipino Americans, NGOs, media organizations, and outreach groups that help increase cultural awareness, enrichment, and community engagement to North Carolina. It is through their support and community involvement that our country has continued to flourish both culturally and economically. Now, therefore, it is fitting to recognize the month of October 2023 as Filipino American History Month and to make a commitment to acknowledge Filipino history, celebrate Filipino accomplishments, and create opportunities in our state for more Filipino Americans to thrive. In witness thereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 25th day of October 2023, submitted by Representative Maria Savania. James White, House Principal Clerk.
Ratification of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill is duly ratified for presentation to the governor, Senate Bill 274, an act directing the Department of Health and Human Services to exempt certain home assistance services from home care licensure requirements. Senate Bill 409, an act to amend offense of breaking or entering into or breaking out of a railroad, cars, motor vehicles, trailers, aircraft, boats, or other watercraft at all. Senate Bill 68, an act to authorize the city of Strike that. And the following bills and resolutions duly ratified and properly enrolled and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 68, an act to authorize the City of Hendersonville to use proceeds from on-street parking meters to fund capital projects and provide that revenues realized from off-street parking facilities must be used to pay bonds issued to finance such facilities at all. Senate Bill 154, an act to make various occupancy tax changes. Senate Bill 757, an act to realign the North Carolina Congressional District. Senate Bill 758, an act to realign the North Carolina State District. Senate Bill 759, an act to establish election districts for the Watauga County Board of Commissioners, to establish residency districts for the Anson County Board of Commissioners, and to modify the primary process the Johnson County Board of Education. Senate Bill 761, an act to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives and to make corrections to previous appointments. House Bill 898, an act to realign the North Carolina House of Representatives districts. And Senate Joint Resolution 760, Resolution 2003-11, a joint resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening.
Chapter bills will be noted.